It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you guys are all well. On this week's show, we will be looking back at the midweek win over at MK Dons and ahead, of course, the Saturday's home game with Morecambe. Joining me to do just that first up, Mr. Joe Puddyfoot, not in his pub for once. How are you doing, Joe?
Very good, Louis. Thank you very much. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Yeah, very good indeed. I'm full of high spirits after 3 points on the road. The promotion, here we come. Also joining us, we can't be relegated now. That's something worth clinging on to as well. Also joining us, looking resplendent in his third kit. Someone should make a mug of that. It's Mr. Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. Even better after Tuesday night. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, excellent, excellent stuff. So on this week's show, as I said, we'll look back at that game with MK. We're going to hear the goal. We're going to hear from Dean Holden. Also got an interview with Jack Payne after that game as well. We'll touch on the McCauley Bond situation, the social media scandal, if you want to call it that, or social media issue, whatever you want to call it. We'll talk about that because I did ask Dean about that during that midweek. He was obviously dropped for the game at Milton Keynes. So let us know what you thought of that. Of course, we'll look ahead to the game with Morecambe. We've got Dave Salmon coming on, who's a commentator and podcaster up there for the club and for Beyond Radio, and an all-round good egg as well. So we're going to speak to him later on in the show. Let's hear the goal very quickly then from Tuesday night. Really pleased that the Addicts held on for all 3 points to put right that 6-0 defeat at Ipswich Town. Let's have a listen to the goal scored by Jack Payne.
Dobson crossing in the middle. Ball to the feet of Rexecki, little touch into the path of Payne in the penalty area, and there's the opening goal!
What a good goal.
Lovely work goal from Joel, short corner, well worked into Rexecki's feet. He spotted Jack Payne in the penalty area, lovely first touch, he opened himself up and drilled it past Cumming to give Charlton the lead.
A fantastic goal, wasn't it? The first ball into Jez in the little pocket, his weight of pass into Jack Payne, his finish was excellent as well.
Jack Payne in the penalty area. Lovely work call from the short corner from Fraser, Clare, Dobson. Ball into Rexecki. Little turn, spotted Payne in the right corner of the penalty area. Lovely first touch. And then a drilled shot which Cumming could do nothing about. And after 16 minutes of this second half, the Addicts take the lead. And from the first half, I think it's well deserved. In the opening quarter of an hour of this second half, you have to say the home side have looked a much better outfit, but Charlton are the ones who've got their noses in front.
There we go, then. I forgot that Carl Robinson was alongside Terry there. If I just clipped all of Carl Robinson speaking, that could have covered the whole show quite comfortably, really. But, yeah, good to see 3 points. Evening to everyone in the chat as well as joining us live on YouTube, in particular to Paul Davenport, who said he's got a third kit mug on order. I'll show you some of the mugs later on in the show. We've got a new Etsy store selling a bit of merch for the first time ever. So keep an eye out for that. I'll put the link up later on in the show as well. We needed that, Joe, as a side. The players needed that. The fans needed that. We needed a reaction from the 6-0 defeat. I certainly did. And I didn't think that we massively got it in the first half, but we did in the second. You know, there were elements in the first half that were okay. But second half, we were, other than the first 10 minutes or so, the better side. And I'm glad we put in a display that was very much required.
Yeah, I mean, I actually said on Tuesday that, for me, we approached Tuesday night's game as we should have approached Saturday's game. Nice and compact in shape, not giving really anything away. The midfield certainly looks a bit more cohesive and tightened together. The space wasn't really there. And if we had played as we played at Ipswich, even with it being MK, who are nowhere near the same level, we still probably would have lost quite embarrassingly. So they needed to react. I'm pleased that we did. I'm pleased that we got a win, even though, you know, it would have been nice to have taken a couple more chances or created a little bit more. But just to steady that ship again. And now the season is over. You know, we've got the points. So we could just sort of ride out the next few games and see where we end up next season. But for me, it'll be interesting to see how some of these players play over the next few games and whether they can carry on that kind of form in terms of, you know, good, solid displays, or whether a few people actually put their hand in the air and say, no, I really want to be part of this and I'm going to put in some absolutely sterling performances. I think Payne was one who put his hand up on Tuesday and sort of took the game by the scruff of the neck and showed some of the quality he does have, which is frustrating because we don't see a lot of it over the course of the season. So hopefully there's a few more moments like that for us to actually get excited about while we sort of trudge towards the end of the season. And that game felt like an end of season game, really, to me.
Yeah, I think that there's elements of it that were fair. Certainly the first half, like we had... I don't know. It felt like we had a lot of possession without, you know, once we got in and around the box, without really creating too many. I think the best chances really fell to Fraser and Payne, who had a shot over from the edge of the area. Fraser probably should have done better with his effort across that he picked up at the far post and chested down. But, you know, it's one of those frustrating games that probably sort of personifies our season in a way, Mark, in that we were a bit slow at the start, had a good spell. We were on the back foot a little bit right at the end as well, but it was that consistency and performance that we struggled with all season, really, and that was boiled down quite nicely into the 90 minutes on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, that is the watchword for this season. It's consistency. We just haven't had any. I think one of the things you've got to be aware of is that we didn't try anything elaborate. Whether Saturday still played on their minds, you know, we were, like Joe says, we were compact, we were tidy. You know, yes, you know, they could have done a bit better in the attack in third, but I don't think at any time did you think, oh no, you know, we're going to go back and slip into our old ways. I think the way, you know, with the midfield looked, there wasn't much rushing to be out of position, and I think that helped us, and it did stifle Milton Keynes quite a bit. And when the goal came about, yes, they were sort of like getting their foot in, but not to an extent where we were absolutely backs against a wall. So I think keeping it simple, keeping it basic, worked for us. I thought most, like most Charlton fans, it gets to the last 10 minutes, you're 1-0 up, you're thinking this is going to finish 1-1. You know, I'd have probably put all my money in my pocket on Lewington scoring. He seems to have good games against us. But I think this is one of those times where we managed to, you know, Lee Byrne put himself around and introduced himself a bit. And he looked, you know, he didn't have the most comfortable of games. So, but consistency has been the watchword all season. And it's difficult to know. You say about keeping the players and, you know, who's going to hold their hands up. But then they've got to say, right, I've got to be able to do it. We haven't seen enough of Payne this season. But I think he's one of those awkward players to go, where is your best position off him? You know, he's not a striker. He's not really a winger. Is he an attacking midfielder? But, you know, is he going to do the rest of the job? I think he's one of those players. He's a bit pigeonholed into what he can do. So I'd find it hard. I like Payne, and I thought he was unlucky to get sent off. The second tackle was silly. The first tackle I thought was a good tackle. But, you know, like he has got a bit of a point to prove, and, you know, it was a heck of a goal as well.
Yeah, it really was a cracking finish. You know, Jezrak Saki involved as well, as you'd always expect. It was a simple pass, but yeah, he took that with aplomb, did Jack Payne, celebrated right in front of the away fans. More on that later. But yeah, we'll speak probably more in depth about Jack Payne when we hear from him in a few moments' time, Joe. But yeah, in terms of a player who's needed something, he was back in that starting lineup, and he provided something that you know, at times probably he will feel like he's been missing this season.
Yeah, and let's be honest, he was probably only in because Campbell got a knock, but took his chance well. I think he was one of those players that would have been putting their hand up to come in after the 6-0 drubbing that we had, and we were talking about that as well in the week in terms of would Dean pretty much pick the same side apart from Innes, obviously, who wasn't, or would he ring the changes? And he came in and and showed he's got some quality and showed he's got something to give to the side and he can be creative. For me, I think he's better in that sort of 10 role in behind the striker. And I think he's been lucky not to get more game time with Fraser being so hot and cold. He is a player that has good runs and really, really bad runs. And sometimes I think just taking that player out the firing line and bringing him back in can sort of rejuvenate their season. And Fraser's needed that at times and hasn't been able to have it. But so many of these players, like so much aside, it's one good game and then one bad game. And you just can't get that consistency out of them. And even if we do put in a run of the next three games, does it necessarily mean that we're going to be building onto anything next season? But I think he can be pleased with his night's work and fingers crossed he can actually go and build on that now and over the next couple of games and get some confidence ahead of the summer. Because I don't think we're going to be able to ship everybody out and players like Payne might still be part of the squad and we need them to be in the right mindset to come in naturally. But put us in a position to be moving upwards from 10th in League One, which we all know it just isn't good enough for us.
Yeah, and also let's not get carried away with the fact that, you know, 10th does sound quite high up the table, but we're still, we've currently 14 points off the playoffs. I mean, that's the stat that's important, and that's with Bolton, who are in sixth with a game in hand. You know, the distance we are from the top six is something that we can't forget. And obviously, I feel like that's a drum I'm going to be banging quite a lot between now and the end of the season. Even if, you know, we go on to win the remaining three games, which, you know, on paper we should do. It's two home games and then, you know, maybe a slightly tough trip to Cheltenham on the final day. Whilst it's important not to get carried away, I guess we needed them to show some fight. And we'll hear from Dean in a few moments' time, Mark. But he said, actually, that the fact that we did have to go a bit back to the wall at the end probably helped to display that a bit more than if we'd gone there and won 3-0, you know, that we actually managed to cling on a bit. I think there was one hairy moment when Sully Kaikai, who I forget used to play for us at one point, had a volley at the far post right at the end. You know, if Liko hit the post in the first half as well, they had a couple of half chances. I don't think they were up to much, though, Milton Keynes, which was strange because they're on the back of a good run. But yeah, Dean reckons it showed a bit of grit and a bit of fight after Saturday when obviously they showed neither of those qualities.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously him as a manager is looking to see which one of those players is going to say, yeah, I had an absolute stinker of a game at Ipswich and it's not going to happen again. And he could just see that. It might not be actually in how they're playing. It could just be their attitude on the pitch, you know, the talking to each other, the G-ing each other up, which was so, you know, obviously missing on Saturday. Every time a goal went in, it was just despondency. I think we seemed a bit more like a team on Tuesday night. And yeah, I agree. If we'd won 3-0, you know, would people say, well, oh, Ipswich was a blip because we've been on this run? No, it probably wouldn't pay public. You know, he's looking for different things for us than we do as fans, probably. So for him, if he's happy with a 1-0, but the attitude's changed, then that'll do for me. Because, I mean, I think with it, like I say, you said you're going to come on to the situation with Bon, and there was talk of Fraser as well after the Ipswich game. And it seems like the gaffer runs a very tight ship, a very much, you know, I'm in charge ship. And so if he thinks people are going to be mucking about, it's like that strict teacher at school. You know, if you were mucking around behind his back, you know that he'd turn around and flick you with a chalkboard or something. And he knew. And you didn't
showing
do it
your
twice.
Age then. Most of our listeners haven't heard of chalkboards, I'm afraid, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'd Google it. so I think, you know, if Dean's happy, you know, I think we'll trust him and say, right, you know, we get why he's happy with a 1-0, because it did show character and it did show a few of them to say, yeah, I don't want to be in a team which loses 6-0.
Yeah, and we needed that. All hell let loose, pointing out that Liko used to play for us. Yeah, I do remember that. You know, unfortunately, his second spell wasn't as good as his first. But yeah, John saying inconsistent team, loads of individual consistencies, the likes of Albie, Fraser and Payne. I did say we're going to speak about Fraser a bit on this evening's show because we had a couple of tweets coming in during the week from Ryan, one from Ryan and a couple of people sort of backed it up. So we'll have a good chat about that in a few moments' time. But yeah, the defending on show was brighter as well, Joe. And again, it was impossible to get worse, I guess. But that element, as I was saying to Mark earlier, it was an important part of it. And I thought Hector came out of the game quite well. And I thought Terrell Thomas actually did quite well, seeing him in that central defensive role, which, from memory, I don't think we actually seen possibly since the 4-4 draw with Ipswich in actual central defensive role. And he did fine.
Yeah, I mean, I like Thomas, really. I liked him when he was here, you know, as a youngster. I was a little bit disappointed when we let him go because I thought that he was sort of come through to be at a level that we were at. And turns out we definitely have managed that. Is he a starting centre-back? Maybe not, but definitely a good squad player, I think, for us to have. Especially with being able to just sort of stand in and play left back. And it was good to see him get a chance to play at centre back alongside Hector, because his only other game in centre back, if we're going back that far, would have been potentially would that maybe have been Hector's first game, or was it before the window? But it wouldn't have been with a settled back four. He's now got Hector alongside him to help him out. And it's he does play the ball well, he does defend well generally. But again, it's just, is another player that you look at and you go, are they quite there for next season? And can he do it consistently at this level? Those question marks will probably remain open. But Hector is one of the ones. He's had some bad games, I think, personally, but he's had more good. And he is someone you can start building a defence around. And him and Ness together, I really like as a combination. It's a shame that Ness hasn't been around for them to build that partnership now. And I hope we do retain him. Moving into next season, I think our big rebuild is going to be at fullback, because we're only really going to have out and out fullbacks, one in the building when the season ends. And so that's you're going to have to go and get at least three of those to get you through next season. And that's where the big question marks will be.
Yeah, Dan's got a better memory than me. He says here, Terrell Thomas's last game at centre back was Oxford, where he had an absolute mare. Yeah, and I mean, I remember the Ipswich one where he also had an absolute mare as well. I mean, there's an interesting chat going on in the YouTube comments here. All hell let loose saying, should Wollacott have been upset about not being recalled after Ashley Maynard-Brewer let in six at Ipswich? I mean, my initial, because someone said that to me on the way to the game on Saturday, not saying he should be, but just whether Dean might have done that as a reaction after what had happened, as a chance to see what Wollacott's up to. But he's done nothing wrong for me. You know, Paul, who very kindly has bought one of our mugs, said, how many of the six were Ashley's faults? He was left exposed by Keystone Cops defending. And that's sort of where I've landed on that. I mean, someone suggested, Callum saying Wollacott's probably going to leave in the summer. Ian saying, why are people criticising Maynard-Brewer? Leave him alone. Yeah, I mean, I was saying in the car on the way up, I feel like we've got probably two good enough goalkeepers. You know, they're going to make rickets. That's why we're in League One. Ashley's had a couple. Jojo had a couple in his time. But I wasn't tempted to drop him at all for that game on Tuesday night. Mark, would you have gone differently?
Well, something we did talk about previously to the night, we're saying who might come in. Did Ash do anything particularly wrong in Ipswich apart from pick the ball out six times? No. But we're going to say, like I say, the thing about Wollacott going in the summer, and if he wants Ashley to be his number one keeper for next season, the more experience he gets, because he is still young, even though he's played quite a few games out on loan, he needs better coaching, I think, goalkeeper coaching. I think we're lacking with that at the moment, because I think his distribution is not good. And I think he can be a fantastic instinctive shot stopper, a bit like Pope was when Pope was with us. But you'd want his distribution to be a lot better. I mean, I'm not looking for him to sort of like be the fifth centre half and dribble it out from the back. But if he's got the ball, he's got to learn to. He can throw it. He can, you know, half kick it, half volley it. Is a lot of his passing out just seems to be wrong. And you do wonder if a goalkeeping coach is there, why they're not seeing it? Because we're seeing it in the stands. You know, yeah, we're not experts, but you know, maybe they are working on it, and he's just got to work a bit harder. So could Wollacott could have come in for a few games? If he's going to be gone in the summer and Ashley's going to be our number one next season, I can understand why Dean says, right, you're going to stay there and react to it yourself, because you were part of that team which lost. Let's see how you react as well. So, because it's all very well sort of saying how the outfield players are reacting to it. You've got to see how your goalkeeper's reacting, because obviously he's not gone home Saturday night you know, full of laughs and jokes. He's probably analysing. He strikes me as a kind of player who analyses his game and can see, you know, could any of those six, could I have stopped? Okay, you know, we open the floodgates and probably not. They all seem to be piling past him at a rate of knots. But he also did make a couple of more saves without him on Saturday. We probably could have conceded nine. So I'd have been flipping a coin, to be quite honest, whether I put Jojo back in or whether I let Ash stay there. I think if you're looking towards next season as we are now, I'd say, right, keep Ash in there. And then if he does make a mistake, it's not the end of the world because it's nothing. Nothing's relying on it. We're not going up. We're not going down. We are where we are. So if he makes a mistake, fine, learn from it, move on.
Yeah, excellent. Right, George said I would much rather Jojo was our number one with Ashley Maynard Brewer on the bench. That's interesting, George. Yeah, I mean, if people want to have their say in the comments, let us know. Would you rather have Ashley or Jojo in the starting lineup? That's interesting that George has said that. Right, let's have a listen to what Dean Holden said after the game. Then we've still got plenty to talk about, obviously, with the celebrations, with Fraser's performances recently and the Bond stuff still coming up. But let's hear what Dean made of the win over at Milton Keynes on Tuesday. We wanted a reaction and you got one this evening.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a perfect response. I think, you know, our supporters were turning up here, probably travelled most of the afternoon, coming up here and thinking, like, wondering what we're going to see. And I think it's vindication, I think, for the way that we've handled that 6-0 defeat at the weekend. There's different ways you can go after that, and there's a lot of emotion, obviously, around the result. And, you know, we addressed it, as we always do with the players, but we did it in a calm manner once we'd... Once we got through Saturday evening, we did it in a calm manner, and I think you saw the confidence had not dropped really in the players. I think that first half performance shown that we got on the ball, we moved it well. And without without Campbell and Blackett Taylor down that left-hand side that can stretch the opposition, we had to find a different way. With obviously Payne playing in there, who doesn't do that as much, although he still runs, to be fair. He's probably not got that top-end pace like Corey. So, you know, we found moments to get through the midfield, through the lines in midfield, and turn their back four around, and we just didn't have that moment of quality in the first half. That was the only thing that was really lacking, really. We had some excellent sort of approach play, and the only other thing with that is once we arrived in there, we were probably crossing too early, we were probably picking the wrong moment, and not enough quality, and then we weren't getting up behind the game defensively, and they were then turning the ball over on the edge of their box, and then it was like a game of basketball, weren't it, at times. They were breaking 6-7 seconds into our final third. So put that right in half time. And then I thought we started a bit sloppy second half, 10, 12, 30 minutes. I thought we were a little bit sluggish, but we then got hold of the game, scored an excellent goal. Fantastic finish, but the approach play again. And then we probably took it too far the other way in terms of we were then maybe trying to overplay at times rather than taking a shot and a cross. So, you know, lots of good stuff. I said it before, I think if we did even drew that game late on or possibly lost the game, I still saw a committed display, I still saw players running. And you know what, that was the most important thing tonight, because we needed to put some pride back in it. If you go and get beat heavy again tonight or whatever, that could really sort of start to fester. So we can't forget what happened on Saturday, and we won't do, but we have put it to bed really quickly, which really pleases me.
I think it was a great finish from Jack. He's probably one of the players who's endured one of the more frustrating seasons, started quite well with goals and assists, but hasn't been picked that often. Is he giving you a display tonight that suggests he could be involved a bit more?
I don't know anyone that can enjoy a frustrating season, but I know what you're trying to
endure.
Say. Endure. Yeah, endure. I thought you said enjoy, sir. It's the accent. I think in recent weeks, obviously he had the red card a couple of weeks ago, and he won't have played as much football as he would like. One thing about Jack Payne I would say is he is totally committed. His training displays, whether he's in the team or not, are outstanding. His attitude is first class. He's a leader within that dressing room, and not going overboard, of course, but I think when you're someone like him that's not played as much as you would like, when you come in the team, the only way you can perform and be up to speed with the game is if you train properly every day. And I think it's a good moment for him in front of our supporters in that corner. A really good moment for him to get that goal. It was, like you say, it was an excellent goal. Brilliant, brilliant play to get there. I think it was Jez with the assist and one hell of a strike. So they threw caution to the wind, didn't they? Like on, they brought Will Grigg on. They went two up top. They started going a lot more direct, which is not what MK Dons normally do. So it was back to the wall stuff towards the end, naturally. But I said to the players, I'd rather win it 1-0 than come here and win 5-6-0, and that might make me a little bit boring, and maybe our supporters might have wanted a few more goals. But at the same time, I think it goes to show that it's a really dogged 1-0 display with a lot of personality.
There we go, that's Dino speaking about the win over at Milton Keynes then on Tuesday evening. Yeah, he was trying to catch me out, saying I have an accent when I said endure, but he should look in the mirror. He's got the thickest Mancunian accent I've ever heard. Pleased with the reaction, I think he said was the most important thing to him, Joe, and you can see that. He's got to balance this fine line at the moment where he's probably looking at a squad that he will be happy to get rid of quite a few of them at the end of the season, but at the same time, he can't have anyone down tools and he can't have a playing squad that completely loses some sort of any sort of interaction with the fan base, if that makes sense, or any goodwill, because he needs that goodwill to roll over into next season. And I think performances like the Ipswich game in particular ruin that. So he's got to try and balance balance that quite carefully.
Yeah, you need to stop taking pot shots at Dean and the players, Louis. You get us in trouble again. he has to keep everyone galvanised. We've got three more games to go. You've got to keep everyone together, fighting in the same corner, get through the season. And then there are maybe going to be some players that he's going to have again next season that he doesn't really want to have. There are going to be players that we can't move on, who other clubs don't value. And to be honest, well, we might not value either. So he's got to have those guys still pulling in the right direction for him and being part of a cohesive squad and a cohesive team. Because if you've got that sort of underlying disenchantment or disappointment festering in the squad, it can affect the rest of the players coming in. So yeah, he's got to keep everyone together, and he's got to give players the opportunity to show, not only for us, but if he wants to move some of these players on, you know, that was one of the points I made about Woolacock. You know, he's probably on a fair chunk more money than Ash. And if we don't want to have all that money tied up in two goalkeepers, then maybe we give, you know, Jojo a couple of games at the end of the season just to sort of go out and show his value so we can try and get someone to come in and take him off us and maybe even give us a bit of a fee. So it's a difficult balance for him. I don't envy his job at the minute, but he's got to try and get us through these next three games and then just focus on a really positive summer, building into next season and hitting that, you know, all full steam ahead.
Yeah, certainly. Right, we had a tweet in yesterday from Ryan. Let me try and find it. He said, Louis, can we discuss Fraser in the next Charlton Live? I sent a tweet. I don't really rate him for what we need. I see him as a luxury, not a tackler, a grafter. If the ball is not played to him, he is out of the game. Some agree, others disagree. Would like to know thoughts. I mean, we'll open that up to the comment section as well, because I imagine this will split opinion a few times. I can see where he's coming from, Mark, with Fraser. And actually, his goals this season hasn't been that bad. I think he's up to seven now, last time I checked, which isn't awful for a midfielder. Maybe, like, if I'm being greedy, maybe one or two more. But yeah, seven's not that bad at all, really. Does he affect enough games for us? When he's on his day, he looks very good. You know, he's got a wonderful free kick recently. He's got five assists this season as well, which, again, it could be higher. You know, our highest assist makers are Albie and Jez with seven each, but obviously Jez has got 13 goals to go with that rather than Scott's seven. So his numbers aren't the worst we've ever seen. I feel like a player of his potential, they could be a bit higher.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think he's underperformed for us this season. I think when he signed for us, we were quite excited because we thought, you know, he's a decent player. We thought there was a bit of a mistake, Ipswich letting him go and thinking, you know, he can do a job for us. And in flashes, he can look really, really good. But there's a lot of the games where he looks lazy. And I don't know whether he feels he's got Dobson and Morgan to do his running for him, so he doesn't need to put himself around, and that might not be his, you know, number one thing he has in his arsenal anyway, because he's got a good strike on him. He's quite a clever passer of a ball, and like I say, his free kicks are really good. But I think maybe he feels that he's our luxury player. You know, most teams have that kind of player who doesn't do all the hard work, but you give them the ball and they'll make the other, you know, they'll punish the other team with an assist or a goal. And like I say, his stats aren't terrible. But we're not that kind of like team at the moment who could afford to have that luxury player. You know, when we had Klaus Jensen, he couldn't tackle a bag of chips, but, you know, give him a ball and he was a magician.
Well, he want to.
Exactly. But give him a ball, and his passing and his vision was phenomenal. So you didn't mind having the players around him who were working that extra 10% to get the ball. I mean, a prime example would have been way before probably you and Joe, is that Letizia at Southampton. It was him and 10 donkeys. But the 10 donkeys worked, gave the ball to Letizia, who just scored phenomenal goals. Yeah. It's that kind of luxury
player. Had terrible long-term effects, though.
But it's, you know, it's examples of players in teams. You think yourself, look at Man City with De Bruyne. Now, I personally think De Bruyne's the best player in the Premiership, but he tackles, puts himself around. He could be their luxury player, but he works hard. And because no one in Pep's side doesn't work hard. Whether Fraser thinks, you know, I don't need to because Dobbo's there doing the work of two men, Morgan will put a tackle in. I don't know. Maybe it's a psychological thing with him because he's definitely got the skill. It's whether he's got the application in the long run to make it work for him and us as a team. Because I think, would I pick him? Yeah, I would. I would pick him in, you know, if you're picking the team for this season, I would put Fraser in there for us, because one, there's not a lot of competition, but I think there's enough about him, but I like to watch him. There's enough about him which I find utterly frustrating as a player. And you think to yourself, you know, for God's sake, you know, get into second gear. You just don't wander around looking like someone's just tied your laces together.
Yeah, I mean, check out if anyone wants to get really, really, really frustrated about something, have a look at the tracking back for the sixth goal against Ipswich Town. And I know we've got to draw a line under it, but oh my Lord, have a look at that. Right, Fraser, a few people have had their say on him. Chartley says he's a very good player, but I often think he slows us down. Is he a luxury we simply can't afford in League One? Dan says, I rate Fraser. You have to think he was not playing in a position that doesn't work for him under Garner. Now he is playing higher up. He can kick on next season. But I do wonder if, does he affect enough games? You know, does he take the game by the scruff of the neck, or does he only play well when we play well? Which way round is it? It's a real tough one. Keith said, a decent player, but not consistent enough, which I think is fair. Martin said, is he out of contract? No, he's not. But he said, I'd love to see Aaron Henry given a run in the last few games. He could be one that leaves and comes back to bite us. So we've seen that a few times, haven't we? Paul said, Fraser's skillful, but not enough to excuse his current lack of dynamism. George said, if Fraser had a right foot, he would be playing in the Championship. And I rate George's comments more than most people, because he's just said he's just bought himself a Charlton Live mug. Make sure you check out our Etsy store, charltonlive.etsy.com. Right, the other massive talking point that came out, of course, from Ipswich and then on to Tuesday's game was Macaulay Bonn and Instagram gate. He liked an Instagram post from Ipswich Town and then one from an Ipswich Town fan celebrating the fact that they beat us 6-0, a game in which he seems to forget he was playing for us rather than the other team. Dean Holden decided to drop him for that reason against Milton Keynes. I asked Dean after the game just for an explanation on what actually happened.
So you're going to have words with Macaulay, and clearly words have been had. I mean, can we understand that conversation? Did he offer an explanation for how that happened?
Listen, Macaulay's didn't mean any intention to disrespect our supporters. It was social media can do this to people sometimes, and I can totally understand the frustration and our supporters and the way that came across. So I had that conversation with Macca. I think I've talked from day one about building that connection with our fans, and you know that's the last thing we want to do, is make it look like we're sticking two fingers up to him, because that wasn't the intention. I have to say that wasn't the intention, but I made the decision tonight. I didn't want to I wanted to almost get the game, hopefully get a win, and now we move forward. For me, it's done. He's missed out tonight on the squad. He's accepted it. He'll be back in training, and for me it's put to bed. I didn't want it to fester. I think it's he's had his punishment, so to speak, and we move forward.
Yeah, just a one game thing and draw a line now.
I think we should draw a line on it. Listen, we draw a line on it. I think sometimes you can blow things out of proportion or the rest of it. I think that the key thing tonight was to focus on obviously the players that we brought with us tonight. A bit at the end there, we've gone over to our fans and we've had a good moment with them, and I'd like to think now that we draw a line under it.
Joe, you drawing a line under it?
Well, if he doesn't want people to blow things out of proportion, he's going to not be pleased to see me on here. No, not drawing a line under it. I didn't welcome him back. I thought you know, we had seen all we needed to see from Bon. I thought he was disrespectful when he left the club. You know, he said there it wasn't his intention to do it. What was your intention? What genuinely, what were you thinking? And I would argue if you're doing something like that after you've just been absolutely drubbed 6-0, it just shows you don't really care. You might be pleased for Ipswich and the fact they're going up, but you should have personal pride, and you should have pride in the shirt, and you should have pride in the club. And you don't. If you're doing that, you don't. If he's here next season, genuinely, I won't be able to cope with it. Genuinely, send someone around to check on me, because I'm not going to be able to cope with the extended contract. So if we're not extending his contract, what's the value in giving him the next three games? I don't think he's earned the next three games. I don't think he deserves them. I don't think he deserves the forgiveness or respect from the fans. I don't think he respects us or the club. And quite frankly, I'll be disappointed. I think it will be detrimental to Dean's stock as the manager to just bring him back in when we've got Kanu and Leeburn last three games of the season. We're not playing any of the top sides. You can actually genuinely give them a bit of an opportunity to go out and learn a little bit more towards the end of the season and kick on for next. We're not going to further the club's cause by playing that man anymore. Just get him gone.
Get him gone. The words of Joe Puddyfoot there on Charlton Live. I mean, a few people have got involved. Dan said, I don't think he should play another game, not only because of that, but also, why should we give game time to a person who won't be here? I'd much rather let Carney play and see if he can get ready for next year. Patrick said, I think Bond's learnt his lesson now. Hopefully he doesn't do it again. If he does, we can sort him out further. Good maturity from Holden. I mean, I imagine the majority of fans hope he won't get the chance to do it again because he won't be here. And if he's like an Ipswich post next season, it's because he's watching as a fan or something, which is fine. Max says, I agree with Joe. I can't understand how it can be excused. Dan said, if you go off the way he acted last time he left, it makes you think, what on earth is he doing back? Pat then said, Bond's got a huge job on his hands if he wants to stay next season. I mean, if he scores two hat-tricks between now and the end of the season, Mark, I mean, imagine he'd be getting the pen out for Macca, will you?
No.
Right. Let's go. Excellent. Right. let's get. We do actually have to move on because we got Dave waiting in the waiting room. Let's have a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to show you my mugs, which I'm very excited to show you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Charlie.
Yes!
He's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You're absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlie have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get it! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. Anyone who was on social media last night would have seen that we've launched our brand new range of Charlton Live mugs. And as you can see, I've been drinking out of one. Anyone who's got eagle eyes will notice I've been drinking out of these for the last 2 or 3 weeks, actually, just to see if anyone caught up. But the majority of them are sort of designed, inspired by classic kits. So you can see this one's based on the shirt I'm currently wearing. It's got the Charlton Live logo on the back there. I'll just flash a few of them up on the screen. So this one is from 98-99, the Ekru kit. That's probably my favourite one. But we've got this monstrosity of a kit that Mark is wearing. Is now in mug form as well, 95-97. We've got one from 91-92, this blue and black one. If you guys like that one, a grey one from the late 80s, for anyone who does remember chalkboards, you can drink out of that one. And finally, this one's been quite popular so far, the free stripe green and purple one, 96-98. So if you guys want to have a look at those, check out our merch store, charltonlive.etsy.com. We've already sold at least one during the show as well, which I'm quite pleased with. Sold a few last night. Feel free to check them out. And you can drink out of the same vessels that all of us on Charlton Live are drinking out of. What an honour that will be. Right, we're going to hear from Jack Payne shortly, but since he's here now, it's time to bring in our correspondent about Morecambe FC. So welcome to the show, Dave Salmon from Shrimps Live, a commentator for the Beyond Radio up there in the club as well. One of my favourite opposition people to deal with as well. How you doing, Dave?
Oh, Louis, you're very kind. Evening, all. Evening, Joe. Evening, Mark. I must say about your mugs, Louis, a bit disappointed that you've not got one with the graph on it. I think that's probably going to be your bestseller.
Yeah. I've got. Well, I'd fear if I was to make a graph for you guys, it would be quite a depressing one these days. If we were to look at Morecambe, we were chatting last week, and there was a concern that you might already be effectively down by the time we had this conversation, but actually, with a result against, was it Wickham last time out, you've given yourselves a fighting chance. How are you feeling going into the rest of the season? Is it 2 points from safety, having played two more games or one more game now than others? Has it gone to 3 points now, actually, hasn't it?
So it's 3 points from safety with three for us to play. Other teams around us have got four. We've got by far the worst goal difference as well. So that's effectively an extra point. So coming to you guys on Saturday at the Valley, I think as our manager Derek Adams said in his pre-match press conference this afternoon, we've got to hope for another miracle. It happened almost 12 months to the day, didn't it? We were in a very similar situation. We were a couple of points inside the relegation zone, came to you. We'd only won twice away all season. Got the 3-2 victory on that occasion. That got us out the bottom four, and that's where we stayed till the end. Well, I don't think we got another point after we beat you on over the Easter weekend, but we stayed out the relegation zone, and the miracle happened. We need to do the same again this time around. It's a little bit more of a tougher test and a tougher ask going into this game, because our away form is utterly, utterly abysmal. And by abysmal, I mean one away win all season. We've only scored 12 goals away all season in 21 games. And we've been on the end of quite a few hammerings, especially in the teams towards the top end of the table as well. So if you look at it like that, not great in terms of optimism, but we got a great draw away at Portsmouth over the Easter weekend. We got a fantastic win against Wickham Wanderers last Saturday. It was a well-deserved win as well. I know it was a last-minute winner, a 1-0, but back-to-back clean sheets for the first time this season as well. So we've got to come to you with confidence, and we've got to play for the win. Trying to shut up shop and playing for a draw, it's not enough now. We've got to get 3 points one way or the other.
I was going to ask what's gone wrong this season, but I don't think that's quite fair, because, I mean, expectation levels are finishing 5 places from the bottom, really, isn't it? So what's gone slightly worse than perhaps last season?
I think there's been a combination of factors. The main one is being our ongoing ownership issues, and the club's been up for sale for most of the season. And the guy who owns it is a guy called Jason Whittingham. He's the MD of a company called Bond Group Investments. They also own Worcester Warriors Rugby Club. A quick 10-second Google of Worcester Warriors will tell you everything you need to know about their sad demise. And that's meant that he's wanted to try and sell to the highest bidder. The person with the highest bidder is a gentleman called Saab Johal. He runs a company called Saab Capital. If you look on Google about him, hardly anything comes up. So there's been a lot of conjecture amongst the fan base that he hasn't got the money to pay for the club. The EFL have yet to ratify the deal, despite it dragging on for nearly 6 months. And if he's not found the money or not found the proof that he's got the cash in the bank by now, surely questions have got to be asked about if he's ever going to. And that has to drip down that knock-on effect, doesn't it? You can't not be affected by that, every element of the club. You combine that with the fact that our playing budget is what it is. We can't compete. We have to get young players on loan. We have to take punts on people from lower divisions and hope they come off. Last season, they did to an extent. this season, perhaps not so much. And of course, last season we had a 26 goal scorer, which obviously helps matters. And he's got six this season. So although he scored a great goal to win the game against Wickham. So all of those factors combined means we are where we are. We've actually got the same number of points at this point of the season than we had last season.
Oh, so it's just unfair that everyone else has cheated by getting more. I was going to say, I mean, we've had seasons where I would have dreamed of having a striker who scored six goals. But yeah, I mean, just very briefly then, Dave, who are the men who are the danger men? Obviously, if Stockton, I think he got one at the Valley last season, he could be up there. But who else should we keep an eye on?
I don't think you can ever rule out Cole Stockton. He does know where the net is. Part of his problem this season, Louis, has been his service, quite simply. We had loads of shots last season, so he scored loads of goals. We've not had hardly any shots this season, and that's told. A couple of will point out from an attacking point of view. Dan Crowley, attacking midfielder, who we got on a free transfer in January, played loads of games in the Championship for Hull and for Birmingham. He's been on loan at Cheltenham, and he's a great player. He's far too good for League One, far too good for us, and you'll see exactly why hopefully on Saturday. Young Adam Mayer on the left-hand side, he was injured on Saturday, but I think he's back for this weekend. He's just gone 19. Tricky winger, he'll try and just drive to the byline down the left and get the ball across. So hopefully those two can provide the service to Cole Stockton. Jensen Weir in the middle of the park on loan from Brighton. He's our top scorer with 10. And it'll be a very welcome return to the Valley, Louis, for a fan favourite from last season from your guys, Papa Soare, who I know was absolutely terrible for you, but he's been absolutely brilliant for us.
I mean, that's just an insult, really, that he's finally picked up some form. But there we go. Look, Dave, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Fingers crossed, we'll be speaking again next season as well. Wish you guys all the best, and I'll see you on Saturday. Look forward to seeing you.
You certainly will, Louis. All the best, and good luck for the rest of the season, apart from Saturday, of course.
Yes, cheers. There we go. That's Dave Salmon then, from up the Morecambe commentator and podcaster for Beyond Radio as well for Shrimps Live. Top bloke, and really hope that Morecambe do stay up, although obviously that I hope they don't beat us on Saturday. Right, we're behind time. I wanted to play this interview with Jack Payne. I spoke to him after the game on Tuesday night. Obviously, when he was speaking to Terry sort of at the start on Cheltenham TV, he spoke more about the game and his goal, which was great. But I wanted to find out about how the players are feeling about the season as a whole, and it started with his own season. I guess it's been a bit of a frustrating one for him.
For your start this evening, how hard has it been to not start games recently?
I'm not going to lie, it's been frustrating. If I'm honest, it's been a frustrating season for me. I've struggled to get a run of games. I don't think I've not started more than three league games in a row, but at the same time, if I'm my biggest critic, I've not done well enough when I have played to warrant that. But it's been difficult, it's been frustrating. So nights like tonight where I do come in the team and get a goal and play quite well, I'm really pleased with, and hopefully I can do more of that because I just want to get better and better. Hopefully finish the season strong, taking it into next season.
I was going to ask, do you think you weren't given enough chances considering sort of at the start of the season you were quite high in the goals and assist stakes, weren't you? Do you feel like you perhaps unfairly treated earlier on in the season?
I wouldn't say unfairly treated. I feel like every player is biased to themselves and desperate to play. I feel like, yeah, there was times I felt like I was going to play and I didn't, but you've got 20 lads, we've got such a strong, talented squad, and every player thinks they should be playing. So yeah, from a personal point, I would have liked to play in a lot more. I'd have liked to got a run of games, but it is what it is, and I've just got to, when I do get the opportunity, do what I can.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you spoke about the talent in the squad. I know, you know, it's great to go on a win today, and obviously we're not on a dreadful run actually if you look over the last few weeks. But when you put it in this perspective of how far off Ipswich we were, for example, on Saturday, and how far off the playoffs and challenging we are this season, I guess overall the players must look at this as quite a disappointing campaign.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like you said, in the last few months even, our record's been a lot better. But yeah, we want to be challenging at the top. We don't like the fact that coming to the end of the season, there's not too much to play for. There's always opportunities, but we want to be fighting for promotion. Like, that's what I'm used to in my career. That's what a lot of players are used to. So yeah, it's frustrating, but listen, it is what it is. We just want to finish a season strong, especially for the fans who have been so good for us, and take that into next season.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, it's a question that we always get to ask the manager, because obviously he's in charge. But yeah, the players inwardly, what do they think needs to change in order for Cheltenham to be proper challengers next season?
I think we have to take what we've had, because I think throughout the season we've improved. We first half of the season weren't good enough, and I think second half of the season's been considerably better. And I don't know exactly, but if you looked at the form table over the last 4 months, I wouldn't be surprised if we are in and around the top six. But like you said, we want more than that. I feel like when we've played teams around the playoffs, we've competed more than enough. but I feel like Ipswich was a reality check on the weekend that we've got a lot to improve on, and that will come with time. Obviously, we've only worked with the Scaffer 3-4 months, a full pre-season, and yeah, hopefully we can really give it a good go next season, which is what everyone's desperate to do. Fans, players, everyone, we're all on the same page and desperate to be successful.
There you go, Jack Payne. So obviously I asked him sort of more about the bigger picture there, Joe, about how far off the playoffs we are, et cetera, et cetera. I run the maths. Obviously, he said probably since Holden coming, he imagined we'd be in and around the top six. I mean, we'd still be probably 10th with a few more points, seven more points, but based on if Dean had been here the whole season, but we'd already be out of the playoff race pretty much. Yeah, do you feel the players understand there's still quite a long way to go?
I mean, obviously not if he's saying that, but then, you know, can he really come out and say, yeah, we need some more players, especially when he hasn't been starting? You can only say, well, the squad's not good enough, but I can't get in that squad. so he's got to say that the players are talented because he's got to talk himself up, hasn't he? But yeah, that. I think the players will know that they're missing some key components in there, and also that a few of them maybe haven't risen to their potential this season. But, you know, we do have players in there like Payne, and he said he hasn't had more than three consecutive starts all season. It's difficult for players like that to get any run of form going. And so you have to feel a little bit sorry for him in that regard. He's not really had a proper opportunity to show his real talent. And he was a mainstay last season. And I was surprised when Garner didn't make him a mainstay, having brought him in this season. But they've got to be honest with themselves. A lot of those players, the fans aren't going to be happy if the squad is looking the same next season. We're going to want new faces. We're going to want different people. And some of the also runs can maybe still be the also runs, but the first starting 11 has to be different. There's not too many players in that squad who can genuinely put their hands up and say that they deserve to be part of a promotion winning team next season, or even that they can be part of a promotion winning team next season, unless they're being carried by some very, very good players around them.
Yeah, and that, I don't know. That's why I still feel like as a club, I don't know. We need to get to grips with a little bit, like expectation levels. People need to understand that this hasn't been good enough. Sam said it's all talk. We've heard this over the years. Plus, they say we've got a strong squad, but they certainly haven't done enough. Paul's saying that Joe's on fire. That, of course, is the benefit of doing it on YouTube now. We can get those emergency messages broadcast straight to Joe, just in case he is. Right, we had a quick email in from Ray. Says Dean Holden has 6 away wins in 22 league games coming in. So that's obviously 22 includes home and away. But compare this with just 1 away win for Ben Garner. The owners, whoever they are, must really support Dean in the summer. Love the show, guys. That's from Ray. Cheers, Ray. Right, let's have a look ahead to the Morecambe game once more. Then let's hear from Dean Holden. As we preview Saturday's home game with the Shrimps.
In terms of the squad, Sean Clare got a good 80 minutes after his injury scare. Manny Igbo, more minutes. Miles Lieben, a full 97 minutes after his injury. How's the squad after what was now the final 3-game week of the season?
Yeah, fine. There's nothing really to get too carried away about. I think there's naturally some niggles and stuff at this stage of the season, particularly, as you say, in a 3-game week. But, you know, the lads are all wanting to be out there now. It's a stage of the season with 3 games to go. There's a lot to play for. Let's not kid ourselves. This is Charlton Athletic, and there's 3 games of League One to finish the season as strongly as we can. The players know that there's contracts up for negotiation. There's all kinds of things going on. So I expect a really good, solid 3 performances out of the next 3 games from this team. And yeah, of course, a lot of the focus is on next season and planning. But yeah, making sure we finish strong is really important to me. So. Everyone's fronted up this morning, no problems at all with that, and we'll see who's available tomorrow when we'll pick a squad.
And Macaulay Bond obviously set out Tuesday night for what you mentioned pre-game. Is he back in contention for Saturday?
I think we'll see how training goes tomorrow. As I said before, I spoke to Macaulay prior to the game, made it clear. Obviously, we've just got to be responsible around social media and responsibilities and things like that. I say it again, he didn't intend to. To disrespect anyone, certainly our supporters, but I think it was important in that moment that we went with a squad that we knew we could get some real positivity from our support as well, which we did. And I said after the game, we move forward now. It's, for me, it's done. It's the punishment's has been had, so to speak. And yeah, we move forward.
And we've got Morecambe at the Valley, who, having gone 10 games without a win, have just beaten Wickham in their last game to help their survival hopes and give them a boost. So we face another side battling for their lives at the foot of the table as we try to cement the 10th place spot, which six sides below us could are also in contention for. So it's going to be you know, still something to play for and stuff.
Yeah, of course. It's important that you show up. I think, you know, we went to MK Dons overnight. They were unbeaten in seven games, even though they're down near the bottom. So we've gone there and turned them over. People look at the previous result they won't talk about for us. I'm sick of talking about that one now. It's done, even though I keep bringing it up. And it doesn't really matter what's gone on in the previous game. It really doesn't. I mean, you gain from a winning run, you gain momentum, you gain confidence. Players have that belief. And you can quickly lose that after a winless run. So to go back to your point earlier about bumps in the road, I think that's hopefully something that we've managed to do quite well this season, which is overcome the disappointment of a result, but maintain the confidence, because it's easy to go overboard after a game. The emotions can get the better of you, and you know, keeping the players' confidence is the most important thing. So yeah, what's gone before doesn't really matter to me. It's, as you say, Morecambe are fighting for everything. You have to give them total respect. But for us, we're on another home game in the Valley. There's only two left. Supporters will be coming excited for that reason, and hopefully we can show them some more goals.
There we go. That's Dino looking ahead to the Morecambe game. Yeah, when he said the fans will be excited, there's only two home games left. I was like, yeah, I am kind of actually, because we're really nearly there now, Mark. We nearly get the summer. yeah, how are you feeling ahead of Saturday's game then? Bonning to start? Which way are you looking?
No, you know what? I don't think Bond's going to start. I'd be surprised if he was still on the bench. I think if he puts him in and he puts him to start, I think he's going to understand that when the teams are announced, who gets booed and who's going to get stick. And it's difficult for a player, you know, to be getting stick from your own fans before you kick off. And I think, you know, if Lee Burns, oh, yes, he's just come back, but he's a young lad. He's keen. Carnu's there. And I think we've got another. Didn't we have another kid from the bench? I'm on the under 18s.
Yeah, Zach Mitchell came on. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, no, a striker. Kilroy? Early on in the season.
Kilroy Anderson. Yeah.
You know, put him on the bench again. You know, it's just thinking, it's a learning experience. And look, Bond's not going to be here next season. I think he's not going to come out and say, look, he's going to be gone, so don't worry about it. And I don't think I've had a word with him and he understands. I just imagine, you know, our gaffer having a word with you involves you changing your trousers straight away afterwards, because he's not going to be happy about that one bit. And he's playing it down a bit and saying, oh, you know, let's draw a line under it. Yeah, he's not going to. I can't see. If he does start Bond, I think it'll be a mistake, because Bond's done nothing. He's scored two goals. He's been offside more times in sort of like the games he's come back for us than probably most people have this season. And I don't think it's the way to go. I think there's three games you can look at, three games you can say, right, let's put the young'uns in. We are at the end of a season, and yeah, you are looking forward to almost to finish, even though we all go stir crazy off season, because you're just constantly refreshing who's going, you know, following rumours. As well, you end up having a couple of months of that, and then you're waiting for the fixtures to come out, the new kit to come out, and all those things which make the start of a season, you know, fun. I think the interesting thing is once it's all over and you see the list of people released, and then you can have a bit more cool-headedness about it. For Saturday, you know, whether he has to manage Sesh, whether he probably can't do two games in a row, so left back's going to be a bit of an awkward one. So maybe, you know, put Sean Clare at centre back and move Thomas across again. I don't know. It's a bit of a lottery ball situation. He's just picking numbers out and going, can I put him there? So I really couldn't tell me. With a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you. Probably Maynard Brewing goal plus 10 others. That would be my team for Saturday.
And even that's up for debate, judging by some of the comments we had earlier. All Hell Let Loose says Anderson's more of a 10 than a striker. He scored in that game down at Plymouth, didn't he, the pizza game. if I remember rightly. John, interesting chat saying, I worry that we'll have difficulty attracting quality players now. I think our reputation is tarnished due to ownership issues. I mean, as long as you pay enough money, I don't think players pay attention to that sort of stuff. But you never know. I mean, Paul says that that John's right on that. But hopefully, being a London club with the size of the stadium we have, will still carry some weight. Which I think, well, Dan's asking if Patrick Casey should it be worth giving him a chance. I think he's the one scoring loads of goals down the 18s, isn't he? But even then, you know, we've seen with Kanu, just because you're scoring hundreds of goals in the academy doesn't mean you're physically quite ready yet. Which we'll see. Hopefully we'll see him grow in the next couple of years into a player who can make the first team. Right, we've run out of time on this week's Cheltenham Live, the big match preview. Again, it's flown by. Thanks to everyone who's joined in. Thanks to Dave, who joined us from Morecambe earlier on in the show. Thanks to everyone with your comments and your emails, and especially those of you who've bought mugs. Don't forget cheltenhamlive.se.com if you want to try out one of our classic kit mugs. We've also got just a plain one with the logo as well, which is a bit more affordable, just if you want one that's out there. I think they're decent quality products. I'm pleased with how they've come out, so have a look at them and buy them. Joe and Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you guys.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, absolute pleasure to see your mug as well.
Thank you very much. That's why I brought us onto YouTube. Right, I'm Louis Mendez. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday morning. Anyone who doesn't have a mug by then is no longer allowed to listen. We'll see you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.